So here we are. Class of 2010, you clean up pretty well. There are certain days in which you look better, more handsome, and more beautiful than you are on other days. Wedding days bring out the best. Commencement ceremonies bring out the best. It's on days like this when we gather together, we realize we were made for this. You were born for this. This is the culmination day. You've been living for this. A lot of folks in this room have been living for this with you. It is a day of celebration and commemoration, and it is my opportunity to bring you a charge. I do so realizing that this is a room filled with people who would have something to say to you. And even as I'm speaking to you, mine is not the only voice you are hearing. There are younger voices. Several years ago, when Christopher, our son, was just about 4 or 5 years old, Mary and Christopher and Katie, our daughter, were flying into Atlanta. And as they were flying into Atlanta, they went through a series of bumps, turbulence. Christopher, who had not experienced this phenomenon before, was convinced that this was the termination of his young life. He stretched himself out, put his arms in the air, and yelled at the top of his lungs, "We're going to die." Mary, being an attentive mother, seeking to quiet her young, shushed him. An older gentleman about 3 rows ahead simply spoke out and said, "Lady, he's just saying what we're all thinking." The noise of family and children and infants is in this room, and they're just saying what we're all thinking, which is, this is a great day. This will never happen again. The gathering of these people in this room is unprecedented and unrepeatable, and we are here because of one very special occasion, and that is the graduation of this class of Boyce College of 2010. This is a day in which we are indeed congratulating, and congratulations are due. This is a day in which we are commemorating. And commemoration in a moment like this is always appropriate. But this is also a moment in which we should consider the meaning of these things. I would invite you to hear the text from the Word of the Lord today from the book of Colossians, Paul's letter to the church at Colossae, chapter 2, beginning in verse 6. "Therefore, as you received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him, rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. See to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ. For in Him the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily, and you have been filled in Him, who is the head of all rule and authority." What we have here from the Apostle Paul is a classic charge. As is so often the case, the Apostle speaks in imperatives. He is not at all shy or reluctant to speak in imperatives. When he speaks to Timothy and he gives such commands as preach the word in season and out of season, he speaks in imperatives. When he speaks to churches, he so often speaks in imperatives. These are commands. These are orders. These are commissions. And it is important for us to realize that so much of the Christian life comes to us as imperative. The things we must do, the things we were made to do, the things we are called to do, the things we are equipped to do in Christ, the things we are commissioned to do. Paul begins this passage with an imperative: as you received Christ, so walk in Him. It is a particular phrase in which the imperative, walk in Christ, comes after what comes before, and that is, as you have received Christ Jesus. The most important thing about you is not that you are now and soon to become graduates of Boyce College. It's not that you are part of the class of 2010. The most important thing about you, the most important reality of your life, is that you have received Christ Jesus. You've given testimony of your personal faith and commitment in the Lord Jesus Christ. You have come to a Christian institution. You've received a Christian education. The premise of all of this is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. As you have received Christ Jesus. We are here today because we stand in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are here today because we are absolutely convinced, we are certain and confident of the life that is given to us in Christ, the forgiveness of sins, the gift of eternal life. We are absolutely aware that as we are sinners, every single one of us, a sinner desperately in need of the forgiveness of sins, a lost person desperately in need of being found, a sinner in need of redemption. We are absolutely convinced that God acted in Christ to give us what we did not deserve. That on the cross, Christ, the sinless Son of God, shed His own blood as our substitute, paying the penalty for our sin. We are absolutely confident that God raised Him from the dead on the third day. We are absolutely confident that salvation is in His name. We are absolutely confident that all who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And we are absolutely confident that that work that God begins in us, He will complete until that day. This is a graduation day, but this is not the graduation day of our utmost concern. That day is the day of judgment, when our Father will declare us to be righteous because of the imputed righteousness of Jesus Christ. That is the commencement day yet to come. The qualification for that commencement day is nothing you can earn and nothing we can deserve. It is entirely the grace of God. But it is on the basis of the sure assurance that you have received Christ Jesus that the Apostle Paul then writes to the Colossians, so walk in Him. And if there is any charge that is worthy of this moment, it is a charge to this graduating class that you walk in Christ. The faculty who have poured their lives into you, this institution that has made this education available to you, all those countless Southern Baptists and believers around the world who have prayed for you and have supported this institution and have made this education possible, their great prayer for you is that having received Christ Jesus, you will walk in Him. Their great concern for you, their urgency for you, what they would say to you were they here, is that they would pray for you to walk in Christ. Before you is a life that the secular world defines in terms of career, but we will determine must be discussed and understood as discipleship. Is the answer to a call, not merely the receiving of a job or the choice of a career. As you have received Christ Jesus, so walk in Him. Walking in Christ is a metaphor we well understand because it means that we are following in discipleship. Walking in Christ refers to our discipleship, the faithfulness of our obedience to Christ. It means not only declaring the fact that we have believed in the Lord Jesus Christ and received Him, but that we follow Him as Lord. So walk in Him. Rooted and built up in Him. This is the great mystery of the gospel, that those who are in Christ are united with Him, and united with Him, inseparable from Him, we are rooted and built up in Him. We are established in the faith. The great hope of Boyce College and the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary is that by your studies here, you have been further established in the faith. Our great goal and determination and commitment is that the students who come to this institution do not have their faith attacked or put under a subversive kind of criticism, but rather that you are nurtured in a context of authentic Christian education, where faith in the Lord Jesus Christ is honored and respected and expected. As you have received Christ Jesus, so walk in Him, rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith, just as you were taught. It is my honor to give voice to what the professors who have taught you would wish to say. As you have been taught, every single one of these teachers is a fallible and frail human being. Every single one of these teachers, Every administrator and leader of this seminary is a sinner saved by grace. Every single one of us is a student of the gospel of Christ, a fellow learner in the school of Christ. But you have been taught. And those who have taught you have not merely taught out of their intellect, they have taught out of their heart. They have invested in you, not just because they believe in something objective and amorphous like Christian education, but because they believe in Christians, such as yourselves. There is a sadness on a day like this, because it is the sadness of transition and the sadness of loss. We hope that as you have been here, you have come to love this faculty and love this school and love your fellow students, even as they have come to love you. And on a moment like this, we realize that this is an unrepeatable assembly. You have been together many, many times, dorm meetings, chapel services, classroom events. You've been together in hallways and dorm rooms. You've been together all over this campus and in places beyond, and you will never be together in the same way again. And the weird and unusual and absolutely glorious thing is that by means of the logic of the gospel of Jesus Christ, that's okay. Because you were not called in order to come here to remain here. You were called here to receive here in order that you may go out from here. There's a warning here. Even as that first phrase ends with abounding in thanksgiving, and there is great thanksgiving in this room, there is a word of warning that comes so quickly when the Apostle Paul speaks to these Christians and says, "See to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the world." There is great danger, a danger that is made all the more clear in this postmodern age of confusion. An age made all the more evident as we look at the world around us and we hear the conversation of the culture and we understand the mentality of this society. There is the danger that believers in the Lord Jesus Christ will succumb. And there is no language more frightening or bracing than what we find here when Paul says, "See to it." This is our responsibility. "See to it." This is your responsibility. "That no one takes you captive." You are graduating today. There will be a new status that will be yours, a status that this society and culture recognizes. You're a college student one day and a college graduate the next, and there is an enormous gulf fixed between those two statuses. There is a sense in which, with this new status as college graduate, there is much that is expected of you, and rightly so. And yet, Paul's warning here is a cogent and timely warning. See to it that no one takes you captive. Be not taken captive by the worldviews of the world, by the base and elementary philosophies that Paul writes about here, by empty deceit according to human tradition. Walk in Christ, and this means continue to walk in the truth you have received. Continue to nurture the Christian worldview that you have nurtured in this place. Continue to be committed to those things that brought you here and were honored here. Continue your commitment to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Continue your commitment to the infallibility and the inerrancy of the Word of God. Continue your commencement to the faith once for all delivered to the saints, and be not taken captive. There is no greater heartbreak that could come to those who celebrate your graduation today than to know that at some point in the future you may be lost to faithfulness, to witness, and to service to the Lord Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul does not end there. Instead, he contrasts being taken captive by those things that are not according to Christ with what is ours in Christ. For in Him the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily, and you have been filled in Him who is the head of all rule and authority. I saw a student one day on this campus. He was walking in front of the boys' library, muttering under his breath. He was going back and forth and back and forth and back and forth, being a sensitive pastoral soul, I saw that this was a person in trouble. I decided that I would step in front of where he was going to be in order that I might insert myself into his situation and find out his problem and offer him some words of encouragement and counsel. As he came nearer, looking down at the steps, muttering nearly incoherently, he had to stop because I was in his way. He looked up and recognizing me, he said, "Oh, hi, Dr. Mohler." I said, "Are you okay?" He said, "Sure." I said, "Well, I'm sorry, but you looked troubled." He said, "I look troubled." I said, "You've been walking back and forth and back and forth and back and forth here on the sidewalk in front of the library talking to yourself, and I was afraid there was a problem." He said, "Oh, there's a problem, all right. I have a Hebrew exam in the morning." He was muttering Hebrew to himself, memorizing it along the way. He was not troubled. But as he said to me, he said, "My head is so filled with Hebrew, I'm going to fail this test. I've got to get it organized. It's got to somehow come out right." And he went back to pacing in front of the library. You have been filled with many things during the time you have studied here. Some of you have been filled with Hebrew and Greek. You've all been filled with a knowledge of the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ and the gospel and the Bible. You've been filled with many subjects. Your minds have been filled with books and filled with exams and filled with all the things we recognize are a part of education. But the most important filling that comes to you is nothing that this college can give to you, but is assured for you in Christ. You are filled in Him. And as you are filled in Him, recognize that it is He who is the head of all rule and authority. When you are filled in Christ, having received Christ Jesus and walking in Him, you are assured that Christ's glory will be in you and in all that you do throughout every task and age of your life until you come to the end, when you will leave much undone that will be completed in Christ to His glory alone. Congratulations to the Boyce College class of 2010. Much pride is invested in you. Much love is represented for you in this room. But incredible hope is also invested in you as we look to the future. Walk in Christ. Serve the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Water the nations with the gospel. As you have been filled in Christ, do not be taken captive. Remain faithful to the end, that not on this commencement day, but in that great commencement day yet to come, when we part to meet and meet to part, we will receive together, we pray, that verdict which we desperately wish to hear. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Between here and there, do not fail, do not falter, do not fear. God bless the graduating class of Boyce College of 2010.